This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Duke got it. They've got 3 seconds. Flag, deep three ball. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And a show of emotion from the best player in America. Cooper Flag just hit from long range right before halftime.
We may have to get the play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils on to get a little Cooper Flag scouting report. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Finally, with some great news to celebrate besides the Dallas Stars and Paige Beckers on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. The poll question that I put out now has 4,000 votes at 105.3 SS. You can go to it. It's pinned at the top of my page. What do you want the Mavs to do with the number one pick? Draft Cooper Flag is leading the way at 48%. Then it's in second place. No matter what, just fire Nico first. I had a Tolo, right? Are we sure that Nico is going to take Cooper Flag? And I honestly wrote back, no. No, I'm not absolutely sure. I don't know. And then Jay Who just wrote, yes, we are sure. You just want to keep making it a talking point. Yeah, because your brilliant ass knew that he was going to trade Luka Doncic, right? You know everything. You got the only crystal ball in DFW, and you bet on it, and you took advantage of your winnings, right? No, you don't know what he's going to do. I think I know what he's going to do, but I don't know, and people are legitimately fearful of it because he gave away a generational 24-year-old international superstar, so you don't know. But keep tweeting big and tough. So fire Nico first at 25%. Third, try to get Luka back. We were joking around yesterday with the KNC masterpiece. You get the number one pick, maybe Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick are like, oh, the conditioning is a problem, as they've discussed. And they would go ahead and fun possibility. 17% get Luka back. And then trade it for Giannis at 9%. And I put this in here because Brian Windhorst snuck this in with the ESPN coverage last night. The great NBA insider, he snuck this in at the end of their lottery coverage.
It is a wild set of circumstances that have shaken out. I wonder if a wild set
of
circumstances.
You know, they've wanted Giannis in Dallas for years. They signed his brother a few years ago.
It's time to get you out to New York.
So, Dave McMiniman's wife was Malika.
Malika Andrews.
Malika Andrews. She had to step all over Windhorst right there. She had to send it to the game. But he said they've wanted him for years. A lot of Tolos came back and said, yeah, a lot of people have wanted him for years. They traded for his brother back in the day. I'm just saying. And this makes the most sense of what the other possibility would be.
Yes, but I will say this. They haven't wanted him for years. That was the different regime. That was Cuban and Donnie.
Well, Donnie really wanted him.
So I don't know that we can say that they wanted him, because this is not obviously that same regime.
And apparently Cuban is still talking to Patrick Dumont. That disappointed me. Although I guess if someone wrote me a $4 billion check, I would call them too. Dumont was at some event,
yeah,
and Cuban like kept calling him, trying to tell him what actually happened. And Dumont could not hear because Cuban was yelling so loud and freaking out over the phone.
Yeah. So like, I mean, look, that the honest thing is interesting. Because, you know, you are obviously trading 12 years of age.
Here it is real quick, by the way, Brad Townsend. I'm told Patrick Dumont was at a track meet of one of his kids and couldn't watch the lottery live. His phone rang and it was Cuban telling him the Mavs were in the top four. Phone rang again. Dumont thought Cuban said Mavs got number one pick, but Cuban was so busy screaming he could not make out all the words.
There you go. Does Dumont, are we sure he knows what it means to have the number one pick?
Oh, yeah. What does he call it? He called it the championship game. So what does he call the draft lottery? The NBA bingo.
We have the one selection. We have the one selection.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We're the one seed in the draft.
So how many Giannis titles would I have to guarantee you for you to say trade it for Giannis?
One.
Okay.
The difference with Luka and anything else is that, you know that Luka's a known commodity. You know what he is.
Yes.
All right. You know his faults too, but you know what he is.
Yep.
So you really need to win several to make that decision. But that's already gone. We don't have that anymore. So now it's like we're trying to recover the scraps of what's left over from our dysfunctional family. And now you like start to bargain with yourself. It's like, all right, just one. I'll take one. Because the chance that, like, what are the chances that Cooper Flagg becomes a top 10 NBA player? Top five. And really, in order to win a title, you really need to be a top five NBA player or have such a great team around you.
But would Mavs fans rather go through the waiting and the journey with Flagg versus a rent a title?
So
that's that was the Luka Dirk argument around
here. That was.
So if there is one personality in the entire NBA that you could acquire that might be able to
fill that void.
Like, yeah, step in where Luka was and basically connect with the city and potentially be an advocate for this administration to repair the... It's probably Giannis.
Yep.
That's probably the one seed. So, I mean...
Awesome, dude.
If you're looking at from the perspective of this Mavs ownership group going, okay, like we get a smaller amount of time, but we're already kind of in a window here. We get a guy that we know is a top 2 to 3 player in the NBA over the last several years. Like, we know we're getting that, and we also know this might be our best shot at having an advocate to repair things for us.
Because, you know, like...
Because Cooper Flagg's probably not going to walk in and be an advocate. He's not going to have that gravitas with the city. Giannis probably would.
If I had told you on February 1st, or whatever day it was, that the Mavs traded Luka for Giannis, how would you have reacted to that?
Still probably a little bummed, but I'm not, like, melting down. I'm right. All right.
That's essentially what this would be. Oh, you would have traded Luka for AD and Giannis, basically.
Luka for AD and Giannis. I mean, I can't give you the credit for the way you got there.
It wasn't planned like this, but, you know, Luka and your one in a three-way trade for AD and Giannis, that's kind of what happened.
I think it comes down to a possible championship in 4 years versus 12 years of an unknown.
It could be five titles.
A fun unknown.
It could be five titles.
And it's your unknown.
Yeah, and it's your unknown.
That's what it comes down to. I think Mavs fans, they're showing it with 4,000 votes. They're drafting Cooper Flagg and trading for Giannis has very little.
Let's say, what if I tell you it is, keeping in mind that in order for him to win a title, they did have to put around him. But what if I tell you, like, all right, this is, because, I mean, he's 30. Giannis could be, 4 or 5 years. Of real prime basketball left. If I tell you it's 4 to 5 years of Giannis versus he does become Tatum.
If Flagg becomes Tatum,
yeah. I'll take Flagg.
Oh, Flagg. No doubt.
I'll take Flagg.
Because, yes. I mean, like, that was a question for a long time. I'm trying to figure out who do you pair with Jason Tatum to make him work. This is just a very recent thing where we're like, yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, if you tell me that I get...
What if he's Lamar?
Odom? I'll take Giannis.
Not Jackson.
Right. I'll take Giannis.
You'll take Giannis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lamar's a good player.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he had like that Lakers team, they were so long. Like, defensively, they were kind of, they had like that great length to them, but I would take Giannis.
All right. So ESPN, I think this was Bobby Marks. He did a great job. After the news came out yesterday, Giannis was considering leaving Milwaukee. He put every team into trade tiers on who could get it done. The favorites, by the way, the last time a team traded a former MVP in their prime, January 2021, you know who it was?
Was it
Durant?
No. Played with Durant on one of these bus teams.
Oh, Harden?
Harden. The Rockets sent Harden to the Nets. An important reminder for teams chasing Giannis this summer. Any franchise without salary cap space would have to send Milwaukee at least $43 million in salary and remain below the first apron. Houston and San Antonio fit all the requirements. Draft assets, San Antonio, by the way, at number 2 last night. Young players, sizable contracts, and a win-now roster even after trading for Giannis. So the Nets and the Jazz have a combined 22 first-round picks available in a Giannis trade. Teams that the Mavs were thrown into this group need a third team to make a Giannis deal. Each of these four teams have a minimum 3 tradable first-round picks. That's the good news. The bad, any contracts included in a trade likely don't match Milwaukee's timeline. For instance, Golden State would need to reroute Draymond Green to a third team and gain additional assets to make a Giannis deal work. Here's the Mavericks write-up. For a second straight season, expect the Mavs to hover around the tax line and first apron threshold, including Kyrie's $43 million player option and the first-round pick. The Mavs are $8 million over the luxury tax and $4 million over the first apron. They are not allowed to use more than 100% of the traded player exception if they remain above the first apron. This is all stuff for Bassick. The Mavs have three tradable first-rounders and 2 seconds, including the lottery pick in June. They could trade a Lakers pick, blah, 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 blee, blee, blee. But basically, they're kind of in that fourth tier. It could happen, but they got a lot of teams and tiers above them.
But now
you're talking about the number one pick.
Game
changer.
You could, I'm just going to put this into the ESPN trade machine for you right now, Sean. We're going to see if this trade gets it done. This works, okay? Look, we can trade Anthony Davis and Max Christie for Giannis Antetokounmpo. You want to throw in a 2029 Lakers first round pick? You can throw that in there too if you like. But I mean, if it was good enough for Luka, I say it's good enough for Giannis, and I make that trade instantly.
Don't you trade for Giannis when you have to have Kyrie and AD with him?
Mm-hmm. No, because then I get to keep the first round pick, and then I just have Cooper Flagg, Kyrie Irving, and Giannis. And then I have all the youth, and then I'm trading away the hurt guys. So we're good. We're good to go there.
Yeah.
The problem is that
you got to talk them into it.
The problem genuinely with any of these trades, like when you look at different trade scenarios of how do you make this work, is the fact that there are these massive gaps in their contract values to find, like he mentions, they're just easy deals to move that are enticing and cheap and still have enough money going out of this deal to make it work financially for Dallas on their end. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really difficult fit no matter what you do, but you would need a third team in here to sweeten it.
877-881-1053. Speaking of sweet, I could not believe this news yesterday, this NBA news, and I'm really shocked over it. Michael Jordan is joining the NBA on NBC television coverage as a special contributor. Holy crap. Holy crap, I'm in.
This is big news because, I mean, honestly, when this popped off, I don't know that there's, like when the Brady news was announced that he was going to TV, it didn't carry any sort of weight like this. This was something where people sit up and they take a look. Now, here's the only problem for me is that NBC has announced it as he's a special correspondent. Correspondent to me sounds like what they do at the Olympics, where they just have a random Olympian come on the headset like twice during the summer games.
He'll do opening night. He'll do All-Star game, maybe Christmas Day.
This is Trae Young as Oklahoma's new general manager of basketball, where it's like, this is a name you're throwing on there. You got some weight. You probably threw him a bunch of money. And it's cool. We'll get to see a couple 5-minute interviews with him a couple times a year. But yeah, I mean, if this was going to be a studio show, put Barkley in there too, start mending some fences, I'd be all about it.
I can't tell you. Like, I don't think I've ever heard him analyze the game at all. We know he can't pick a player. But I did find some other stuff that was related to the return of the NBA on NBC. So they did reacquire the rights to Round Ball Rock.
Thank goodness.
So that was, they had sold that or leased it to Fox Sports for their use on NCAA basketball. They also will be doing the starting lineups. They will air the starting lineups.
I like
genius
that.
For each game. They're trying to bring back that old, you know, the MJ days. They say we want big events to feel big, and they said that any event that they're going to have,
one of the big NFL mistakes they've made in recent years was getting rid of the introductions at the Super Bowl. They generally hit home runs. That one was stupid. I love the introductions. I love introductions in general.
I thought Stephen A. Smith brought up the most important point. Of course, he had a name drop of how he's brothers and boys with Michael, but this will be the most important factor.
I just want to know, is it going to be the Michael Jordan, you know, that you see on television, or is it going to be the Michael Jordan we speak to? Because it's the Michael Jordan we speak to. Oh, it's going to be epic. It's going to be epic. This brother, the things that he will say and the way that he says them and the way that he breaks them down, Lord have mercy. Molly, this is on another level. You understand? But if it's NBC and the little kids out there are watching and, you know, he wants to mind his manners about every little syllable he utters, he'll be all right.
Is it going to be corporate Mike or cigar Mike? Hopefully he's in a F it phase of his life and he's not running a team, and hopefully he can just be old bitter man up there. That's what I want to see.
That'd be nice. Obviously on NBC, it's on a TNT. You can be more cut up because it's cable.
But
NBC,
this is, I, don't know how much this is NBC versus, did they work the deal with Amazon?
So is that who it's partnered with?
Yeah.
Well, that's a different story. It's on Amazon, then, I mean, all bets are off.
Well, special contributed to the NBA on NBC and Peacock.
Yeah, it's Peacock. That's what it's not Amazon, so it's the Peacock coverage. So, I mean, if he's on the Peacock side, you could, but NBC generally with Peacock stuff has tried to keep it pretty clean.
Michael Jordan, television commentary coming to you for the first time ever. It's a Tolo Tuesday of Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Are you capable of disconnecting from the technology on vacation? Be careful. Protect your credit card from lollipops. And what's the best old school punishment for kids that we need to go back to? It's the debut of PP in the Mornings. Brand new intro after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Well, congrats to Peyton Manna. He has found himself on the most toxic show on The Fan, and there's no number two.
He put together the single worst 30 minutes in live radio history.
That is right. It is not the payload on Thursdays. It's PP in the morning on Tuesdays, 8:20 every Tuesday at this time. And gentlemen, first off, intro, good, bad, how do we feel?
I liked it. I would have liked it to be maybe a tad bit longer, but
yeah,
the clips were good.
I mean, it kind of stumbled out of the gate. I don't know if that was an edit on your part or if it just froze. Yeah. I don't know. Do you really need to give G-Bag more mic time?
I know. After what they did to Sean, I don't think so. I think we need to come up with a new intro there. But guys, we start off here. PP in the morning.
This track coming. Except for Chiafalo. I like that Chiafalo stayed out of that.
Very important question, guys. When you are on vacation, how often are you on the cell phone? Can you detox completely from the technology? Or with us being in sports media, you have to always be on top of things whenever you get a chance.
Well, what type of vacation? If I'm going to a resort in Mexico and I go in the pool, then I'm leaving the phone in the chair.
Yeah.
And I'm fine leaving the phone in the room. It is a nice refresher here and there, but I do consciously try to leave it alone. If I'm traveling somewhere with the wife, then I can get away from it.
Yeah, I mean, like I try to keep up with texts and stuff when I'm you know, like, just because at night I'll get on the phone at night, or like in the morning, just laying in bed, she's still sleeping or whatever. But like,
I think
in terms
of
Twitter,
your thing would be the group chats, all the text chains that you're on.
Yeah, I'm on a lot.
That you wouldn't be able to get away from.
I'm on a lot of those. I do find that the ones that are not on text, but they're on like Instagram group chats that I'm on, like those, I lose track.
Like, if we could count the amount of text messages sent on the show, you would destroy us. You would blow us away, the number of text messages. If it was tweets, it's me. Screen grabs, me or Bobby. Working on AI audio, that's Bobby. Pay, sarcastic, inappropriate jokes, that's gonna be PP Pay. But text messages, RJ, I don't know how far away from them you could get.
Yeah, no, I can't unplug. So it's just there's no context in which it's like, yeah, I'm unplugging. No, I just don't. I wish I could, but I can't. I'm addicted to the technology.
It's very tough. I hate admitting it, but I mean, it's like I have all these notifications pop up, and it's like something big happens, or I get a text message, because I mean, my phone's always on, so I always hear. Feel everything. Because I have my phone on vibrate, but yeah.
I know you.
And so, like, you know, I'll immediately get on Twitter or look if I can, but usually it's downtime for me. I'll find some kind of downtime to kind of go back on Twitter and see what I've missed in there. But
does she get annoyed with you looking at the phone? How long can you go without her saying something?
Oh, yeah. Because there's times where it's like, it's not like, you know, family's actually talking to me directly, but we're like around family and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the one talking here. I can kind of multitask listen. So I'll pull out the cell phone and start looking. She's like, hey, stop it.
You know? Like last night, for instance, right? You think the night's done. They get the number one pick. I know I start blowing you up with text messages. Let's grab this audio. Let's do that. Let's do that. When the last second show adjustments have to take place, does she get annoyed when she thinks the night's probably over?
She understands. She hasn't like gone on to me about any of that. I've told her, you know, hey, sometimes, you know, like I'm still working at night. It's not just because, you know, after 10 o'clock, like I'm done for the night. You know, I still can do work outside of work, actually. But yeah, because it happened, I think, right around dinner time. We were eating dinner. She was telling about her day, and I was constantly on the phone saying, oh my goodness, the Mavs really got the number one pick. So all that was taking place. So, but she understands it. She knows. So she's a trooper for that. But yeah, Sean, you had mentioned
Post Mexico. Malone comes at a price.
That's right.
Especially that phony suite he said he had.
I said I was joking. But Sean, you mentioned Mexico. Travelers going to Mexico can stay at resorts there now, and they can sign up for their digital detox program, which eliminates any televisions in the room, and they also can keep their phones in safe places where they can't really get to them. So you have, you know, you're there for 2 to 3 days, and they take all the technology out of your room. Now, you're not just there, you know, doing absolutely nothing, but I wonder how long people can actually last in this program. Is it something worth trying out? You can always call out of it, but I mean, I think the first 24 hours might be the toughest for me.
This is where RJ and I are diametrically opposed. The amount of time he could go with the television off boggles my mind. I have to have it on. A lot of times I have to have it on during the nap. I have it on during sleep. Choppy has to have it off while he's doing his work, and he could just keep it off. If there's no TV in the room, the amount of people who are, I don't have a TV in my bedroom blows my mind. I can never, ever go without
one. We have one in the bedroom. We don't turn it on very often.
I mean, I'd rather have a TV than a cell phone in the room if you gave me the choice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just use my phone like for
my phone can be a TV at that point.
It can be.
But no, I'm with you. Like, Kristen can't understand it. I will have like the TV on, taking a nap, and she'll come in and turn it off because I'm sleeping, and I'll wake up. And she'll be like, whoa. She's like, oh, sorry, I thought you were sleeping. I was like, I am. That's part of what's keeping me asleep. Just leave that on, please.
See, when I was a kid, like, my parents, they didn't allow us to have TVs in the bedrooms. You know,
I never had one either.
And
yeah,
so, like, you know, Mackenzie will sometimes leave the TV on while she goes to sleep. I'm like, how can you do that? Like, I have to have absolute silence. You know, the fan's the only thing making noise at night for me. And so, like, I'm just wondering, like, how do
people these restaurants that take your phone or say you can't use them. I want to see how that.
I've never seen
works.
That.
So does it work similar? I would guess it works similar. Like, so
concerts.
Yeah, like when we went to John Mulaney a couple years ago, that was the first experience I'd ever had where they lock your phone up
into a bag. Right?
Yeah, it's like this thing where you gotta like you get it sealed up and you can step out to these like smoking areas or these designated areas outside the facility where somebody's waiting there for you and will pop it open for you and then lock it back when you come back in. But that was the I assume restaurants. Yeah, I assume they do it similarly with restaurants.
I've never seen that at a restaurant. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, when we go we on our honeymoon, we didn't have the TV on once. But we're never in the room. We're never in the room. Like, when we go.
Never?
Like, just to sleep, right? But, you know, in, like, Oxnard or something like that, you know, when I'm working in the afternoon, I have to have it off. And then I'm usually out until I'm ready for bed. Because if I have the TV on, I know I'll just stay up for hours and hours and hours.
And, like, the resort's not just putting you in your room and you're like, okay, you can't do anything for the entire time you're there. You know, there's activities to do outside the resort that you can go do. You know, they have, you know, games and stuff inside for you as well. But, yeah, every technology bit they take out of there. All right, it is PP in the morning every Tuesday at this time. You guys have kids, so I want to know if
you like the name.
I love the name.
It's good.
So you guys have kids, so I want to know if something like this has ever happened to you. There was this 8-year-old in Kentucky, 8-year-old kid who was on his mom's phone and somehow managed to buy not one, not two, but 70,000 Dum Dums, the lollipops on her Amazon account. Got a hold of the account, you know, parents, you know, a lot of people, even I am a victim of, you know, having like credit card information saved on my phone automatically. It's just easier to buy stuff. But like, has this ever happened to one of y'all? And text in 877-881-1053. I feel like this is a common theme going around. Where kids are, you know, they're playing games on the phone and they just need something to do. And they're like, oh, well, let me type in, you know, this app or this app. And then all of a sudden your Amazon account's open and they just start buying whatever they want.
On their PlayStation or Xbox, it's like, wait, what's this $3 charge? Well, you didn't answer your phone. So they just went ahead and bought it. And I'm like, well, what are we doing?
Well, we have like the authentication on Amazon. So it's like you got to enter your password whenever you like actually purchase them. You can put it all in there, but whenever you go to actually pay, you'll have to enter your password. Now, where this is a bigger problem is they will get on grandma's phone and they will do stuff on that because her phone's just kind of wide open because it's got to be bare bones with the security limits.
I thought she was rocking the GILF apps.
Oh, boy.
Wide open.
No. I've heard of people, though, like they had on like their Amazon, for example, bought hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. And they had, I guess, you know, on Amazon, like they generally do a pretty good job of returns. But it's an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience. You got to go to a UPS store or something.
The cost for the dum-dums was over $4,000.
What?
The kid, I mean, it was 22 cases, 70,000.
22 cases?
$4,000. But the kid had his reasonings, of course, for buying so many dum-dums. He said he wanted to have a carnival and was ordering the candy as prizes for his friends. He just wanted to be a good friend. You know, come on, Mom. You got to understand
this. That's like the first like theft story or burglary story. Not burglary. I'll say stealing. I did it for my cousin. I mean, I did genuinely do it. I, like, took a piece of jewelry from a jewelry store. I get in the car. I'm like, look, Mom, like, I'm going to give this to, you know, Nadia.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. So, pawning it under the high school, middle school bleachers. But no, my kids are too young for this. I'm just having to have the discussion now. He's acting spoiled. His grandmother, every time, brings a toy, knows the toy is coming. So everything is, I want this, I want that. When's my birthday? I'm trying to already get that out of him at the age of 5.
But wait, like when he's on the like the iPad, because he's pretty adept at that, isn't it? Like he's not going into like the Play Store and buying stuff. You don't have any issues with him doing that yet?
No.
Okay, that's coming.
She's done a nice job of setting up the settings.
Oh, that's good. She's got the locks on it.
Yeah.
And for those wondering, the mom was able to get
But if he did that with the lollipops, I would do like Jesse Holly's grandma did with him with the cigarettes.
Make it eat it. Yeah. Eat them all.
Go ahead. Here you go.
Eat them all.
Until you start puking Tootsie Rolls all over the place, keep consuming them. And then you can pay for that that cavity bill down the road, too.
But yeah, for those wondering, the mom was able to send all 22 cases of lollipops back to the original sender, and she did get a refund.
After
Wow. So shout out Amazon for holding it down for there, because I guess she had to go through them as well to get the money back. But last story here, guys. Michigan shoplifters, think twice before you shoplift in Michigan. I love this idea here. A Michigan judge is making shoplifters at this Walmart wash cars in the parking lot as a form of community service for breaking the law. Don't just send them to prison or jail. Make them actually do work outside of jail and then send them to jail.
Nonviolent crimes. Leave them alone, right? Yeah, this is it. They can wash my car.
Do kids wash cars nowadays?
No. Like for money? My neighbor, the crazy cat dude, he asked my son, he goes, you want me to teach you how to weld? And he goes, yeah. And then the day comes to him to show him how to weld. And my son's like, I'm a little tired. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you don't want to do it. Nobody wants to do work. No, yeah, they don't wash cars. I had the greatest car wash experience over the weekend. They did everything. They did the inside of the car. It was cheap. It was like $10. They're doing the whole car on the inside. I was like,
where?
North Richland Hills. I was at baseball practice.
Outside and inside?
And inside. It was like 10.
Oh, it was kids?
No, it was a service. I was like, and it was amazing.
I didn't know this was a thing until a couple weeks ago when Kristen told me she actually subscribes to it and I pay for it. There's like subscription services for car washes. So Kristen's got like this monthly pass that she has at a car wash that she's like, yeah, I get to wash the car whenever I want. And so since I'm always running around the Explorer, like I got to get it cleaned.
One of the dads on our team, I saw him at the car wash and he goes, I'm here 3 times a week.
Wow. Because
he has a monthly subscription. He's there 3 times. It's free every time.
Okay. I can't even get the one here next to this McDonald's to read my card. I got to get gas to get my car washed here at this one next door. I won't read my card correctly. How often do you wash yours? And I could see you washing it yourself.
You'd be correct. When I lived with my parents, you know, because obviously, you know, it's their water, their bills, you know, and because I'm frugal, you know, I didn't want to go to the car wash and spend $9 on a car wash. I would go outside and hand wash my car probably once a month. Once a month I get it, especially in the summer, maybe twice a month.
I'm sure some people get a satisfaction. When I was young, I felt like it was cool. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. I'm just shining this up. Kind of similar to mowing the lawn or something.
I don't mind. I just don't have, like, I need to get one of those, like, those sticks, those big scrubbing brush sticks.
Squeegees.
Things. Yeah, the lawn, they attach to the hose and everything. Because I would like to do it. It's just, the truck's time consuming.
Is the Dallas Mavericks' newest player Scottie Pippen, Kawhi Leonard, or Jason Tatum? The lead draft analyst from ESPN, Jeremy Wu, gets you excited about your next Maverick next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Who is Cooper Flagg's comp? Is it Scottie Pippen, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum? We went through the comparison article during the 7 o'clock expressway, and now we have the man who wrote it, Jeremy Wu, ESPN draft analyst here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Jeremy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man, but probably not as good as you guys are, huh?
Well, you tell us. Yes, right now, initial feelings, yes. but all number one picks are not the same. How excited do you think that Dallas-Fort Worth should be today with the Cooper flag probability?
Yeah, no, it's big time. It's big time. You know, I've been here at the Combine all week, and, you know, I think universally everybody's like, wow, what a, you know, a incredible sort of turn of events for Dallas. You know, I think Cooper, he stacks up very well when you put him up against a lot of the number one picks in this era of players. Statistically speaking, it was right there with some of the best freshman seasons ever. So when you really kind of like hammer it down, as I did when, you know, I know you read that story, talking about that story that I did, it's sort of the same thing. You know, I was impressed to discover how well he stacks up numbers wise.
Talk to us about his game and some of these comparisons that you wrote about.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing I think is just the versatility is huge, you know, in the NBA today. Having a guy with his level of versatility who can do a lot of different things on the floor, and who also has, you know, excellent size for his position, right? Like size and versatility, it's kind of the dream, right? You want players like that, as many of them as you can fit on the court. Like that's kind of the way the NBA has been going. So he's got that. You know, he's incredibly focused and tough, and I think that's something people have always loved about him too, and it makes him. It helps them be very consistent. And then, you know, you get into the comps. You know, I mean, it's always tricky to do comps, and you never, you know, whenever you're throwing out, like, Hall of Famers, it feels a little maybe irresponsible. But, you know, I spent some time talking to people around the NBA about this, trying to do it the most responsible way you can. And, you know, people have thrown out, you know, Scottie Pippen. Like, you know, maybe if he's not, you know, number one offensive option, but maybe he's an incredible, you know, second star, right? Like, maybe that's an outcome for him. You know, Kawhi Leonard and Jason Tatum, those have gotten thrown out just in terms of bigger wings who could score and defend and kind of do it all. And, you know, he's well ahead, at least at the same age of where those guys were. So just in terms of both stats and just you watch him, you know, it's very different trajectories. So it's hard to feel amazing about any of the comps, but I think just the fact that it's those type of names, I think tells you what type of player he could be.
ESPN draft analyst for the NBA, Jeremy Wu, joining us here at 105 through the Fan. All right, so if he's the consensus number one, how close is the gap, or how far is the gap between one and two overall?
I think it's not insignificant, right? Like, anytime there's consensus, you know, people feel better about you than the next guy. But, you know, Dylan Harper, I think, is probably number two for the majority of people. And I think the Spurs have an interesting decision to make there at number two. But, yeah, I mean, Cooper, I think, kind of put the conversation to rest with the way that he played. It was not a sure – you know, I think he was the favorite coming into the season. But then he – you know, with the way Duke was winning, you know, and, again, the consistency that he brought. You know, I was talking to another, you know, person in the NBA about this recently, and it's just like – it's almost like he's just – he's so good that he's become like boring, and that's a good thing, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you're not questioning whether he's going to bring it. You know, you're never worried about that. And even if he has an off shooting game, like he's going to give you a lot of value defensively in other ways. So a very, very unique player.
Jeremy, one of the things that we've talked about, and, you know, Brian Windhorst said it last night on ESPN, the idea of, well, you know, Giannis may be on the trade market. Dallas has always coveted him and just kind of threw it out there as a fun thing. But is Cooper Flagg the type of talent to you that you say, that's not somebody that I would want to package a trade for a veteran superstar? I'd rather have the 15 years potentially of Cooper Flagg than a short window with a top tier player.
Yeah, no, that's not. If it were my job on the line, I would be very happy just to, you know, keep Cooper and not, you know, not laugh in the face of the luck you just got. You know, I think he, having a young guy like that, who, another thing people say about him often is he's the guy who can be a real culture setter. Now, but a little different going to Dallas, right? I mean, I think it's great for him, too, going to a team that wants to win and like badly needs him. Too. You know, I think that is a great fit for him. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But I think, you know, the prospect of going to get a star, I know it's exciting, but, you know, my guess is too, you know, after the Luka trade and the fallout from that and the blowback they got, like, I don't know if you can do a move like that twice and feel great about it. You know, so you keep the younger guy and you feel great to have him.
What type of kid is he?
Yeah, I think everyone, you know, I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about him. I think he's very, very focused, very basketball. You know, basketball is just, he loves to do it, right? It's like not every kid, basketball is like the number one, number two, and number three hobby. I think Cooper is sort of that kind of kid. I think it shows, you know, in the work he's put in and how much better he's gotten. So, you know, people say great things about him and the family and everything, and I think it'll be a great fit.
ESPN NBA draft analyst Jeremy Wu joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Is he a better defensive player than offensive player right now?
You know, I think that's probably accurate.
Defense, you know, wins championships, Jeremy.
That's right, it does.
That's what they say, I hear. yeah, no, but he, you know, defensively, he can really likes to guard, you know, and will guard multiple positions. You know, I don't know if he's going to be necessarily like an all defense level defender, but it doesn't really matter. Like, he's going to be a defensive add. You know, offensively, his game is more, it's still developing, right? I mean, his shot has come a long way from high school to now. I think it'll keep improving. He's got to continue to work on, you know, beating guys off the dribble and that aspect of it. But that's something I was also, you know, last night we were hanging out at the hotel after the lottery, and it's, you know, it came up, and it's like, well, you know, with Kyrie out, I mean, he might have to handle the ball a lot. Mm. Like, he might get a lot of on-ball reps sort of out of the gate for the Mavs. I think that's a good thing, right? Like, you want to let these young guys kind of spread their wings and stretch themselves on offense. You know, that's how you grow that side of your game. So I think, you know, not a stretch to say that, you know, his offense will catch up. But I think it's also nice to go to a team that has, you know, a guy like Anthony Davis and Kyrie went healthy, and it'll take some of the pressure off of him, right? Like, late in the clock. He doesn't have to be that guy. And I think it makes a lot of sense in my head, at least.
Jeremy, the deficiencies, weaknesses in his game, what would you say are the big ones?
Yeah, with him, it almost feels nitpicky just because he is so good in so many ways. But I think the biggest thing, like I mentioned, it's just the ability to create off the dribble for yourself. You know, if you're going to be a guy in the playoffs who's going to have the ball and create a shot for your team and be the guy, you know, that's kind of like the separating skill, right? No matter what position you are, like, you got to be able to create that shot. That's something that Duke asked him to do, and, you know, he had some success, he had some failure, but it's good that they asked him to do it, right? And you got to remember, I mean, he was, you know, 18 for, you know, a good chunk of the season. He's one of the youngest players in this class, which is a pretty important separator, right? So, to be not only one of the best players in college basketball, but also one of the youngest, is very hard to do. So, but I think just being able to, you know, continue to build that game out, you know, play one-on-one, you know, hone the jump shot, be able to, you know, consistently get to that mid-range and feel comfortable doing it. Like, that's the big separator in the playoffs. People are going to give you that shot. So I think just expanding that the scoring, and I think he'll do it. I think you're going to see that.
ESPN NBA draft analyst Jeremy Wu joining us here on 105 through the Fan. The Dallas Mavericks winning the lottery. They will have the number one pick in the NBA draft. Jeremy, when we talk about different players who have gone number one over the years, you know, Victor Wembanyama was considered like, all right, this is a can't-miss guy. This is the next big thing. Ben Simmons was considered, hey, he's got the potential. He's got a really high ceiling. There's going to be some stuff that has to develop. There are still some questions there. How would you characterize Cooper Flagg in that sense? Would you say this is a safe pick? Like, is that just a really high floor type of guy? Or are there some things there that you are having to project out a little bit that might cause this to go sideways if it doesn't develop?
Yeah, no, I think he is extraordinarily safe as number one picks go, in my opinion. You know, I wouldn't put anybody in the Wembanyama conversation. I think that's just like a different beast. And it's not slighting anyone else. I just think there's probably never going to be another guy like that, at least while we're alive. So, but, you know, you take him out of it. I mean, you know, you dig in, you know, as I did with some of the advanced stats, some of the stuff he was doing, and it sort of puts him right in the conversation with guys like AD and Zion Williamson, as sort of those three guys. I think just looking at the overall stats and impact and the winning, like, probably had the three best one-and-done seasons ever, and that's good company, right? So generally when you're that good and you're that young, it bodes very well for your ability to kind of translate that over time to the NBA. And, you know, he's not going to be scared either. Like, I think he'll come in. I don't think he's going to be a deer in the headlights when he gets to the league. I think he's going to be ready to go. So, yeah, I think the floor with him is very, very strong. You know, if he doesn't, well, you know what we just talked about. If he doesn't become an offensive superstar, that's okay, right? If he doesn't do that, he's still going to be an incredible, winning-oriented guy to have in your team. You know, if he's your second best player, you're still going to be, I think, really good. So, to me, I'm very, very much not concerned about the downside with Cooper.
Jeremy, who's 2 and 3 on your big board?
Yeah, so for us, it's Dylan Harper at number 2, and then his Rutgers teammate, Ace Bailey. Those guys have been 2 and 3 on our board at ESPN. And I think, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes. I think one of the interesting subplots of lottery night is, you know, the Spurs getting number 2, the Sixers getting number 3. Those are two teams that want to win. So, you know, I don't think we're going to see – I'd be surprised if Dallas trades out, but I think 2 and 3, you could see the possibility of at least they're going to pick up the phone if you call them, right? Maybe trade back, maybe trade out. We'll be involved trying to upgrade their teams. So it's so early. A lot to shake out. But, I do think, you know, Harper in a vacuum would go number 2 for me. And I think Bailey is a guy with the type of upside that I think Philly would make sense for them. So, you know, those two guys, I think it's a pretty strong draft. These are young guys. It's back to, you know, after 2024, it was a little down. People were not as excited. I think this is back to sort of the at least these guys in the very top, you know, have pretty great upside.
Jeremy, we really appreciate the time. Fantastic article. Thank you, and have fun moving forward, as I'm sure you will.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Jeremy Wu, ESPN draft analyst. Hard not to feel pretty damn good and more solid after that. Extraordinarily safe. Throwing up there with Anthony Davis and other one-and-done seasons, not going any towards any type of Wembanyama impact comparison. And he said, if it was me, I'm not thinking about trading this for Giannis or anything else.
Yeah, I mean, specifically if he was like a guy who was in that position to make that and pick and have his job potentially be on the line for it, that he wouldn't make that, which makes you feel good about what kind of floor he has and what kind of a safe bet he is. But yeah, maybe just I'm not going to be as... When he says, you know, if he doesn't develop offensively, that's okay. It's like, well, no, I'd still like him to develop offensively, please. That'd be nice.
When you've heard about the guy in high school,
yep,
it's generally somebody that it's like, okay, there's some safety here.
We got something else going on today. It's Game 4 in the West. Stars hosting the Jets. We're going to check in with a Winnipeg Jets writer. Gavin Spittle says this guy is the man. Connor Rabchak previews Game 4 tonight at the AAC after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Minz Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Minz Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINZ-TEA today or visit MinzTeaClinic.com. That's MinzTeaClinic.com.